Okay, so we're on Daf Mem Gimel tonight. Okay, please. Okay, the so first I should mention that last night's Daf was sponsored by Roberta Stern on the occasion of the Yorzeit of her mother Malkabat Yosef, and we also hope for Fushlema for his son Dylan. He needs Rachmim and Shemayim. We should have Fushlema. All right. Okay, so we're on Daf Mem Gimel today. So in yesterday's daf, did you do yesterday's daf, Rafi, or not? Anyway, so in yesterday's daf, we learned that we had Rabbi Yochanan said that you probably was Stam Mishnah, but then and over Stam Mishnah is an anonymous Mishnah, which is his one opinion. So that would be the halakha, and but if it's Stam and a Charkak Machloket, then we wouldn't follow the Stam Mishnah. But then it says that. Rabbi Nachum was traveling with Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu was the Gadol B'Torah. Rabbi Nachum was traveling with him, and Rabbi Nachum was plying him with different questions. And among the questions he asked him is, let's say you have a Stam Mishnah and then a Machloket in the Brisa. So who's the halacha like? So this was Ruth. Can you hear me now? So this is on Mem Beis Amud Beis, the first wide line down there. So he said. What if there's a Stam Mishnah? It means the Mishnah just anonymously states halacha one way, but then in a Brisa, which is a statement of Tanaim, but not part of the Mishnah, there's a Machloket. So he said halacha kistam. So Rebbe says halacha follows the Stam Mishnah because the Mishnah is much more authoritative than any Brisa. So we're on the second line now on Mem Gimel and Aleph 43a, the second line. Okay. So the Gemara says v'hatan, but we learn in the Mishnah this is going to be a kashi. It's going to say we have a Stam Mishnah and a Machloket in the Brisa, and the halacha is not like the Stam Mishnah. That's going to be his question. And then this Mishnah does not relate to Yivamot. It just comes up in terms of like Stam and Machloket v'hatan. But we learn in the Mishnah Masechet Kelim Masreik Shel Pishtan. Now this is talking about a comb that's used to comb flax. So if a keli is mekabel tuma, so which is a keli is susceptible to tuma, but if it's not usable as a keli anymore, then it's not susceptible to tuma. All right, okay. So the Mishnah says, "Vatan masrik shel pishtan." If you have a comb, a flax comb, shenit lushinav, its teeth have been taken away from it. So a comb without teeth, but if tayru bo shtayim, if there are two teeth that are left in the comb, tameot, then it is susceptible to tuma because it's still usable as a comb. It has two teeth. It's still usable as a comb. He says, "Va'acha tohora." If it's only one tooth there, so it's tohora. That's not that way. But if, let's say, the teeth were removed, but each tooth is a separate keli, so the tooth can give tumor because I can use the tooth to to clean out a lamp. I can use the tooth to as like a peg to hang things up. So the individual teeth are susceptible to tuma. Shaltsemer, let's say it's a comb that's used to comb wool. Shinit lushinav, achat mibein atayim. Let's say every other tooth has been removed from the comb, then it's tahor. Then that comb is tahor because it's not usable as the comb anymore for wool purposes. Nishtayru bo shloshav makom echad, if there are three teeth together in one part of the comb, he says tameh, that is susceptible to tuma. If the outer tooth is like our combs, like the outer tooth of the comb is like a thicker tooth, so he says, if one of them is the outermost tooth, tahor, because it's so thick, it's not usable in the same fashion as the other ones. If he takes two of the teeth and he uses them like a tweezer, then they're tameh. He says, if he took one tooth out and he set it up, it's kind of going to be like he attached it to some sort of like handle. He says to clean out a lamp, or lemituach, as to like, you know, be a peg to like for a cloth or something like that. But one will be here, one will be there to spread out the cloth. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah says. So the part that we want to focus on is the first part of the Mishnah where it's talking about the Masrik Shel Pishtan, the flax comb, and we said in the earlier part of the Mishnah, we said that if each tooth is taken out by itself, it's susceptible to tumor. So in the Braisa, they quote another opinion. They quote this opinion. They quote another opinion that it's not susceptible to Tuma. So the Gemara says, "V'kaimalon de'ena halacha kavatam mishnah." We hold the halacha does not follow this mishnah. So again, just for the people who came on now, let me just repeat again, okay? So we learned yesterday that Rabbi Abahu taught that if you have a stam mishnah, a mishnah that teaches me a halacha anonymously, and then there's a machloket in the brisa, a disagreement between the Tanaim and the brisa, so then notwithstanding that, we'll follow the halacha and the mishnah. So then the Gemara says, so Rabbi Nachum was traveling with him, and Rabbi Nachum was Rabbi Bava's attendant. He said, what about this Mishnah? This Mishnah is the Stam Mishnah, but we have Machloket in the Braisa. And he says over here, the Kaimalon, the Inalacha, part of the Mishnah. We hold, Lacha does not follow that Mishnah. So that doesn't seem to be like the way you're saying, Rabbi Abahu. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Bava said to him, Bar Mina Dahi. They like exclude that Mishnah from the discussion. Why? Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, the Amri Tarvaihu, Zuina Mishnah, because Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are both saying that Mishnah is not an authoritative Mishnah. Now, my time is. So the Gemara says, why is that not an authoritative Mishnah? All right? So are you okay so far? Everybody good? You're good, Rafi, so far? Stam Mishnah is one opinion with no name. Well, that's the Stam Mishnah, okay? All right. No. In other words, Rebbe created a body of work. Rebbe has a work, the Mishnayot. So is the Mishnah, so one of the Rebbe included, it's a Mishnah. All right, everybody good in the cyber world? Okay, Ruth, you're good, and Daniel? All right, I'm going on. Okay, so we're around 10 lines down now, 10 lines down on Mem Gimel Manal, 43a. So my time is, so why is it that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish said that this is not a Mishnah? So Amar Rav Huna Bar Manoach, Mishrei Rav Idi, Rei Rav Ika, to the Kashereisha of the Seifa. He says, because there's an internal contradiction in the Mishnah. In other words, he said it's not a reliable Mishnah because there's a contradiction in the Mishnah. Now, he's focusing on the second part of the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, when he starts talking about the wool comb, the Ketani Shel Tzemer Shel Ushinav Akat Mi Ben Atayim Tahor. He said that if with the wool comb, if every other tooth has been removed from it, so it's not susceptible to Tuma anymore. So the implication would be that if I have two teeth, you know, consecutively, it would be tame, right? In other words, saying every other tooth has been removed. But if I have two consecutive teeth, it would be tame. That's the implication, that line. But hadar tani, but then the Tana right, subsequently teaches, that if three teeth are there, it's tame, shlosha in shtayim lo, that two not. So that's what the Gemara thinks is the problem with the Mishnah. So if it's not a reliable Mishnah, we're not going to follow it. So the Gemara says to my Kusha, what type of question is that? Dilma habegavaita habebraita. So Rashi's verb shot here is that the wool comb has got two rows of teeth on it. It's like a little bit like a brush. And it's like, and you have the gavaita is the row that's closest to the handle. And the baraita, you know, the gavaita is inner, and baraita is the outer. So the inner row, which is close to the handle, and the outer row, which is further away from the handle. So we think that in Akinami, both dinim are correct. On the outer row, which is one that's further away from the handle, he needs to have three consecutive teeth in a row, because that's the one that's mainly used. In other words, if he's combing the wool, that's the one that's going to do most of the work with combing the wool. Whereas the inner row is just to like grab on to the wall, and I only need two teeth. So that's not a kasha. That can't be the reason that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish said it's not a reliable Mishnah. We just explained why it could be that way. So Gemara says, so what's the problem with the Mishnah? Elam Hafa, the Katani, the Kulan Shit Lua Farakat Tayatzvan Tmeyot. So we're going to focus on a different line of the Mishnah. We said in the first part, when we were talking about the flax comb, that if the teeth were taken out individually, the teeth are each susceptible to tuma. The apagav lovatina, even though I don't do anything with the tooth. In other words, I take the tooth out. We said the tooth is usable to clean out the lamp, or the tooth could be usable as a peg, remember, to hold up the fabric, or Rashi says even like a thread. He says, ema seifa, but then when we go to the seifa of the same Mishnah, achat bit kinlaner olamituach tamea, he says, in the safe, he says, if he took out, this is talking about the wool comb, if he took out one tooth, as long as he hit king, he has to do something for the tooth. he's got to prepare a handle or something for the tooth in order to make it susceptible to tuma. So hitkina in lo, hitkina lo. So that line says that it's not enough just to remove the tooth, I have to do something to the tooth. So that's that we think that that's a stira, and because that's stira, we think the Mishnah is not reliable. So Amar Abaye, you might kush it. So Abaye says, what type of kash is that? Dilma haba katayu haba lo katayu. Perhaps the earlier part of the Mishnah says the tooth by itself is makabel tuma. That means when I pull the tooth out, again, it seems like it's a wooden comb with metal teeth. So when I pull the metal tooth out, a piece of the wood comes with it. So I have something to handle with it. In the second part of the Mishnah, he's talking about if I pulled out the tooth and didn't have any wood with it. So then I have to prepare something to hold it with. In other words, it has to have, say again, repeat. All right, well, wait. Let's see what the Gemara has to say, okay? So the Gemara is saying, "Bikatayu, I have something to handle it." In other words, the Gemara takes it and needs something at its base to handle the tooth. So when it's saying that it's tame just a tooth by itself, when I took the tooth out, it had a little bit of wood at the base, so I have a handle for it. When it says that, no, I have to be mitaking something for it, it's just when I pulled the tooth out without the handle. So he says, but if that's the case, then it's not so illogical. I understand it. Amar Rav Papa, my kusha. Rav Papa has a different way to reconcile two elements. Bedilma Papa Katinta Habalimta. I think this might be a little similar to what you were saying, Rafi, that the latter part of the Mishnah is talking about like a very thin tooth, so I can't hold on to it unless I have something like to create a handle for it. Habalimta, if it's like a thick tooth, so then I can grab on it the way it is. So that's not so illogical either. We can't. So we're on the hunt for a reason why Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish said that this mission is not reliable. So the Gemara says the reason that they thought it was unreliable doesn't mean like unreliable per se, but that it doesn't count as a stam mishnah is because davkanim, the ones who were very exact in the language of the mishnah, they concluded the mishnah with zu divrei Reb Shimon. This reflects the opinion of Reb Shimon. So if they're Messiah that way, then it's not a Stam Mishnah anymore. So that's why they felt like it's not a Stam Mishnah. Okay, let me just summarize what we did. And then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, then we'll go on. Okay, so so the previous discussion was really, the Gemara had been discussing the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, whether you have to wait 3 months to be remarried. And first Rabbi Yochanan said that, One second. Yeah. So he said the halacha was like Rabbi Yossi, that you don't have to wait for 3 months. Right. And then he retracted his opinion. Any event. But the Gemara ends up saying that the Gemara says, all right, let me leave out that. Anyway, but the point is that that Rabbi Nachum was accompanying Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said, if you have a Stam Mishnah, and then you have a Machloket in the Braisa, the luck is like the Stam Mishnah. So then Rabbi Nachum said, what about this Mishnah Masechet Kalim with the tooth and the teeth from the comb? And we don't paskin like this Mishnah. So he said, Zuina Mishnah, it's not a reliable Mishnah. So it's not a kasha. That Mishnah is, it's not a reliable Mishnah. So he says, because Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish said it's not a reliable Mishnah. Then the Gemara got into a discussion, why is it not a reliable Mishnah? We thought there was a steer in it or something like that. But the Gemara ends up saying that it's because the Davkanim, the people who are very exact, they quote this Mishnah in the name of Rabbi Shimon. So it's a Shitas Yachid and Melad, so it's not a Stam Mishnah. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I said so far? Yes. All right, Rafi's asking a question. I'm going to repeat it in 1 minute. Go. We'll say again, repeat. Pishtan, right. Right. It's Tommy means it's susceptible to tumor. Wait. You're mixing a little bit. You're mixing and matching here. We said with the pishtan, we said if it's time achat tahor, it doesn't say third line. If there's one tooth left, it's tahor. If there's two teeth, it's tameo. It's susceptible to tumor. Go ahead. You said the pishtan is line three in the Gemara.
Yeah, it's not still.
Wait, wait. Which line are you reading in the Mishnah? 1, 2, 3, 4. Where? Read the words. Wait. Let me find it. When you say, I don't know what third means. One second. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. The third line, right. Shtayim tmei v'achat tahor, right. So if there are two teeth left in the comb, it's susceptible to tumah. One tooth left, it's not susceptible to tumah. Go ahead. Okay, fine. Okay, so you're good, Ruth. Everybody good? Everybody happy? Okay, Daniel, you're okay? Daniel? Okay, I'm going to move on. All right?
Yes, Rabbi, I'm listening.
Okay. Are you coming in tonight, Daniel?
I daven my rib already.
I don't care. I'll take you. Are you coming in? Are you,
if you have nine and need me,
no, I need you. Daniel, I need you. I need you now. Where are you?
If you need me, Blinder, I will try to make it when I can.
Where are you as we speak?
I'm in Great Neck. I'm home.
Well, why don't you come and stop at home? Come be here in person. Okay, let's see back.
There's others there. I'll try to come.
Okay. It's 8:20. I'm waiting for you. Go ahead now. Let's see back in the Gemara. So I'm midway down the column, and I'm up to the two lines below the small gimel with Shalach Rabbi Chibar Avin. Okay, so the Gemara says Shalach Rabbi Chibar Avin. Now this is going back to our topic. So the general topic we've been discussing how women have to wait 3 months before they remarry. Right? We discussed it. Okay, so Shalach Rabbi Chibar Avin Ma'arsin Toch Shlosha. Now. In yesterday's Gemara, we said that Rabbi Yochanan, first he paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and then he was chozer. Rabbi Yossi says, you don't have to wait. It's a little tricky what Rabbi Yossi says, we'll see, but when Rabbi Yochanan was chozer, you do have to wait 3 months. But here, the Gemara says that Shalach Rabbi Chibar Avin Ma'arsin Tok Shlosha, meaning you don't have to wait a full 3 months. We'll see in a minute. And that's the way he's seen Chachamim conduct themselves. He says, Rashi says, Kolomar kafra iti minahag chachamim osim. I saw the chachamim conduct themselves that way. In other words, when you see, it's like the Gemara says, Maase Rav. Maase Rav is, it's one thing to hold an opinion, another thing that you see the chacham conducting himself according to that opinion. And, you know, Maase Rav is the name of the Sefer. It's Sefer with the minhagim of the Gra. Maase Rav. What's it again? Repeat. What's it again? What? No. Ma'ase Rav means if an action is chashuv, that's what it means. Ma'ase Rav. Okay, so let's see back in the Gemara. V'cheneya Reb Lazar melamdeinu mishum Reb Chanina Gadol. And similarly, Reb Lazar would teach us the name Reb Chanina Gadol, Rubo Shel Rishon, Rubo Shel Shlishi, V'MC Shalem. I don't need a complete 3 months. I need the majority of 1 month, and the majority of the last month, and the complete middle month. Now, this is my focus among the Mepharshim exactly how to understand this. So one way to understand it would be, let's say, the woman gets divorced at the beginning of ER, that's the way they had in the art scroll, so we count, in other words, calendar months. In other words, so she's got most of ER, and then ER Sivan, then she's got all of Sivan, and the beginning of Tammuz, and that would be 3 months. That would be the Cheshbon. And then the most of Tammuz, and we needs most of the so most of ER, then all of Sivan, and then most of Tammuz would be one way to do it. But another pshat is it means like 61 days. For 61 days, I have with not beginning end of the middle of a month. It just means like the cheshbon is enough days to cover one complete month, the majority of two other months, and they make the cheshbon that I have 1 month of 30 days, and then. Of the other months of 30 days, somehow that the remaining, like, I don't know, it sounds like 15 and a half days would do it. So that's another way to do it. Okay, so Amemar, Sharli Ares Biyom Tishim. Now, Amemar, he took it that you needed 90 days, which makes sense, but he permitted the woman to do Erusin on day 90. So Amelie Rabashi Lamemar, so Amemar said, so Rabashi Lamemar, Rabbi Shmuel Dami Tarbayu, Shrikhalam Kimshto Shafarashim, they both said that you have to wait 3 months, Chutz Miyom Shemepo, exclusive of the day of death of her prior husband, Chutz Miyom Shemepo, exclusive of the day that she does the Erusin. So here, so how could a Amemar permit a woman to do Erusin on day 90? When Rabbi Shmuel both say you have to, you know, where Rashi said to a Amemar, the Rabbi Shmuel say it's got to be 90 days, exclusive of the day of death, exclusive of the day of the Eretzim. So the Gemara answers, that halacha about exclusive of day of death, exclusive of the day of Eretzim was said by Rabbi Shmuel, and not in reference to 90 days. There was reference to a different din, when the woman has been nursing a child from a prior marriage, he says, the Rabbi Shmuel and Amri Tarbayu, Rabbi Shmuel both say, a man has to wait 24 months before, in other words, Rachel was married to Reuven, who was not a brother of anybody, to Reuven, and then had a child with Reuven, and then Reuven's dead, but she's got to wait, you know, 24 months, chutz miyom shenolad bo, in other words, let's say Reuven dies, Rachel gives birth to a child, and then Shimon loves Rachel, Shimon's not the brother, you know, or David loves Rachel, and wants to marry Rachel, he's got to wait 24 months, he says, from the birth of the child, chutz miyom shenolad bo, exclusive of the day of birth, but chutz miyom shendarsebo, exclusive of the day of the Erusin. He says, and we discussed this about the 24 months, because we're afraid that the child will be deprived of nourishment if she remarries, or she, in other words, she may get pregnant and then stop lactating, or, you know, something along those lines. So he says, so that din was said by the 24 months, not by the 3 months. So the Gemara says, "Vahu da'avad sudat erusin biyom tishim," but there was somebody who made a suit of erusin on day 90, and there was erusin is the first stage of the marriage. He did it on day 90, either from the death of the husband or else from the get. For afsday Rava the sudate, Rava forced him to delay the erusin. It was like he may have the food all set up, and he said, "Tough luck, I'm not doing the erusin today, and the erusin's not going forward." So he lost all the food from the suda. He says, "So the Gemara says, so Amemar permitted erusin on day 90." So he said, Rabbi Shmuel said exclusive of the day of death and the day of Erusin. No, Rabbi Shmuel, we're talking about the 24 months. It's a different day. He said, okay, but Rav, in other words, for Erusin, I don't have to wait till the, in other words, I can do on day 90, I can do the Erusin. But he said that Rava didn't let him go on a different case than let somebody on day 90. Tahi sudat nisuin havoi. The Gemara says that wasn't a sudat Erusin, that was a sudat nisuin. And the sudat nisuin, in other words, nisuin is worse. In other words, Erusin, they're just, you know, going to be married, but not intimate with one another. There, in Achinami, you can be making on day 90. In other words, the main problem is nisuin. We're afraid that, you know, she'll be impregnated by husband number two, and we won't know is the child from husband number one or husband number two. That's what we said. Let's go slowly again. Again, husband number one died or divorced her. The Erusin is for husband number two. So we said that a Amemar permitted Erusin. So you have to wait 3 months for the Erusin. That's a getter. That's a Gzera Drabanan because of Nisuin. That's the main thing we're saying Nisuin. So with Erusin, a Amemar was making on day 90. Sean, go ahead, make the Erusin on day 90. They're not going to be intimate anyway. So the Gemara says, but Rava made somebody lose the meal on the last day. Said, no, that was Suda's Nisuin. So Nisuin, that's problematical. And we're not going to let you do Nisuin on day 90. Yeah, right. It had a so whatever was doing, they had done Erusin, but the Nisuin, it could be the Nisuin, he didn't let that go forward. So I don't know if they did that in the Alaka, but the Nisuin, he's not letting go forward. He says the Hilchata Srichlam Tin Esrim Yarba Chodesh. The Halacha is you have to wait 24 months. Chos Miyom Shnolabo, Chos Miyom Shdarzabo. If there's a child involved, but shrichlam tishloshah chadashim chutz miyom shemeipo chutz miyom shendarasibo. So lacha is we do require a complete 90 days for erusin and a complete 24 months if there's a child involved, you know, for the remarriage. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Okay, I'm going to move forward. All right. All right. So we're 10 lines from the bottom on Mem Gimel Mem Aleph. Chutz Ben Alman V'Chulei. So the now I just want to refresh. Were you here on Yontif when I did the Mishnah on Mem Aleph? Were you here over Yontif? You were here, right? Okay, good. You know, Daf Yomi builds one day on another. You know, you miss one, it's like the building starts collapsing. So the more you hear, the better it is. So anyway, so the Mishnah on Mem Aleph, we spoke about a woman's not allowed. Never mind Yibum at the bottom of Mem Aleph. A woman's not allowed to remarry within 3 months of the death or the divorce. So Tana Kama said. She's, in other words, it doesn't matter the first whether she was an Arusa or Nesua, and it doesn't matter if she's going to Arusa and Nesua, and she's got to wait 3 months. But then, kind of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah said that if she was a Nesua, so she doesn't have to wait for the Arusa, she could do right away. According to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that might be your answer to the previous sugya. That according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, if you were Nesua, you were intimate with the previous husband, you're allowed to do Erusin. You could do Erusin. It's just the Nisun is a problem. We'll see. If you had Erusin with the previous husband, but not Nisuin, then you could even do Nisuin with the second one. That's the way the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds. And then Rabbi Yossi, we think, agrees with him 90%. But one small point, he disagrees. He says if she's an almana, she's a widow, if husband number one died, so then within the 30 days, she can't do Erusin because of Avelos. That's the only thing he says, okay? All right, so now let's see back in the Gemara. All right, so with 10 lines from the bottom on Mem Gimel Aleph. Now, it's a little difficult, complicated, but I have to go through this, you know, pick up the pace a little bit because we need to finish the daf, okay? So the Gemara says, Chutz Ben Alman V'Chulei, so Amar Rav Chisda Kavachomer. So Rabbi Yossi says we don't permit an almana to remarry to do erusin within 30 days of the death of her husband. Just the erusin, not permitted to do. So Amar Rav Chisda Kavachomer. Rav Chisda says I think as a Kavachomer she should be allowed to do erusin. A place that she's not allowed to wash clothes, she's allowed to do erusin. So we think the week before Tisha B'Av, we think, and we'll prove this in a minute, you're not allowed to wash clothes. Shavu Shachal Bo Tishbav. So if Tishbav is on a Thursday, I mean, Dina de Gemara, you can't wash clothes from that Sunday, right? From following Shabbos, you can't wash clothes. He says, you know, in other words, Sunday begins on Saturday night. From Saturday night, you can't wash clothes, but you're allowed to do Erusin that week. So even though I can't wash clothes, I'm allowed to do Erusin the week of Tishbav. Makom Shavutar L'Chabes, a place that you're allowed to wash clothes. So we think that in the 30 days following the Shiva, you could wash clothes. So halakha l'maaseh is a little different today. There's something called kibbutz, something called gihutz. Gihutz is a fancier form of cleaning. So what we have today, like with our washing machines, you know, might be more similar to gihutz. So I'm not going to get halakha l'maaseh today, but from the Gemara it's saying, a place that you're allowed to wash clothes, so certainly she should be allowed to do erusin. So what's the source about you're not allowed to wash? You could be ma'areis. No, because we learned the Mishnah Masechet Tanit, Shabbat Shachal Tishba B'Tocha, the week that Tishba falls in, you know, and let's say Tishba's on Thursday, it's that week the way I described it. Asur l'saper, you're not allowed to get haircuts that week. Ula chabeis, you're not allowed to wash clothes that week. Uva chamishin mutar b'nei kavod haShabbat. But on Thursday, if Tishba's on a Friday, which it can't happen with our luach, but it could when they were Kaddish al-Pi Re'iya, if Tishba was on a Friday, so that Thursday I could launder clothes because of Kavod Shabbos. But the point is, I'm not allowed to launder clothes before Tishba. But Tanya, I learned in the Braisa, Kodam Azman Azeh, we think it means before this time, before Tishba, the week Shachal Bo, people limit their normal activities, i.e., Milisam Litain, that they cut back on business activities, Milibnot, Lintor, from building and planting, and one way to understanding is a building of Simcha and a planting of Simcha. Uma Arsin. But you're allowed to do Erusin the week before Tishba, we think, of a Lokonsin. I can't do Nisuin. May no sin suit at Erusin. I can't make a suit of Erusin. So here we have a Kal Vachomer, which makes us think that if you do Erusin the week before Tishba, when you're not allowed to wash clothes, Alacha Kamakama, you should be allowed to do Erusin following the Shiva within the Shloshim when you're allowed to wash clothes. So you should be able to do Erusin. How could the Tana Rabbi Yossi say you're not? So the Gemara says, Kitani hi kodem dekodem. So the Gemara says, you misunderstood that Braisa. When the Braisa said three or four lines before, kodem azman azeh, it didn't, we thought it meant before Tishbav. It doesn't mean before Tishbav, it means before Shavuot Shlokabo Tishbav. So the week before that, he's saying like from earlier, from Rosh Chodesh Av, kodem, there was in the period before Shavuot Shlokabo, you can do Erusin. So we think we're okay now. So I'm a Rava, but kodem the kodem nami kavakom. Rava says, no, we still have a problem. If you're allowed to do Erusin, even in the earlier period, I still have a kavakom there. A place where I'm not allowed to do regular business activities, which is what the Braisa just said, meaning from Rosh Chodesh Av I can't do regular business activities, but nevertheless I'm allowed to do Erusin. So after Avelus, the woman, and after the Shiva, the person is allowed to do regular business activities. And Odin Shemutarli Erase, certainly should be allowed to do Erusin. So Hadar Kusha Leduchta. So the question again is, how could it be that the Tana Rabbi Yossi would prohibit the woman, the Almana, from doing Erusin, just Erusin, you know, in Shloshim? What's so terrible about that? If you could do it before Tishba, even though you're not allowed to do regular business activities, you could do Erusin. Here, she could do regular business activities, certainly should do Erusin. So the Gemara says, Lo Tamed Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Anashim Yit Arsu. For now, if you look back at the Mishnah on the Malach and Manala, 41a, page 81, if you look back on the bottom line there, so in our Mishnah it says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Anashim Yit Arsu, that all women can do Erusin, Kutz Min Ha'almana, if they are evil, except for an Almana. So it means all the women can do Erusin, even if they were in a Suah before, they can do Erusin, that's what Rabbi Yossi says, except for an Almana, she can't do Erusin. And it was going to an Erusin. So now the Gemara says, Lo tamed Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Anashim Yit Arsu, Ela Eima Kol Hanashim Yinasu. He holds, now the Gemara is making a sea change in the way it understands the Tana Rabbi Yossi. Kol Hanashim Yinasu, that all women can be married, in other words, can go through Nisuin, turn page, top line. In other words, it means like this. So not that Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda so much. Rabbi Yehuda, remember, said that if she went through Erusin in the previous marriage, she can go to Nisuin in the second marriage. If she went through Nisuin in the first marriage, she can go to Erusin in the second marriage. The Tana Rabbi Yossi is saying that even if she was in the Suah in the previous marriage, she can go through Nisuin now. She doesn't have to wait the 90 days, is what the Tana Rabbi Yossi is saying. But the point being that when it talks about Chutz Min Ha'almana, means the Almana can't go through Nisuin, nothing with Erusin, through Nisuin. So the Gemara says on the top line of Gimel Amud Beis 43b, the top line, he says, "Belately the Rabbi Yossi lahavkin." You mean Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold about the necessity to be mavkin to make distinguish between whether any offspring is from husband number one or husband number two? So the Gemara has a point to the Bach, Iba and Ema lately. I could say, and indeed, he doesn't hold from that. So if I say that, then my problems are solved, so to speak. He says, "Ve'iba and Ema," or in the alternative, I could say like this: "Yolam idlay." That no, the Tana Rabbi Yossi also holds that it's important to distinguish. But Ema, the way I should understand the mission is as follows: Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Arusot Grushot Yinasu. He holds that all the Arusot who are Grushot Yinasu. In other words, if you were an Arusa, you can marry do Nisuin. And when he talks about the Almana again, it's talking about Nisuin. But the point is though, Ihafi Haida Rabbi Yehuda. If that's the case, he seems to be saying the same thing as the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. We don't see a distinction between either one of them. Because the Tana Rabbi Yehuda also holds that if you were in Arusa, you could do Nisuin. And that's what Rabbi Yossi says. So the Gemara says, Ikabeinaihu. No, there is a nafkamina, according to this understanding, between this, you know, later version of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Ikabeinaihu Nisua le'ares. Then the nafkamina would be, if she was in Nisua, then she go through Erusin. Rabbi Yehuda Savar and Nesua Muter Le'areis. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds and Nesua is allowed to go through Erusin. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't change his opinion. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Nesua Asura Le'areis. So Rabbi Yossi, in this opinion, comes a little more stricter than Rabbi Yehuda. He goes, if she's Nesua, then she's like the kiss of death. She can't even do Averson. She went through Nisuin. We want to keep her away from anything with marriage because we don't know. She'll, like, we tell her Averson, she'll do Nisuin. So we do Nisua, in other words, that's the problem. Nisua, that she was intimate with husband number one. So we don't want any problems with this. So we step away, you can't do Averson. But if she was just an Arusa, then we say, fine, Gegusun to Hay. So, but we're talking about Nisuin, so we answered up the problem with the Almana. Okay. Hal, if you want to join us, you're more than welcome to. Okay. You have your own thing, or are you doing this? Okay, all right. Or you have your own Gemara. Okay, fine. So you know, that's not Yevamot, right? It's a different Gemara, right? No, okay. Okay. So the Gemara says on line 6, Vesava Rabbi Yossi Nesua Asur Le'Ares. So you mean the Tana, according to the Sukkimta, Rabbi Yossi holds if she was previously Nesua, fully married, she's not allowed to go through Erusin. So the Gemara says, Vesava Rabbi Yossi Nesua Asur Le'Ares, the Nesua is not allowed to go through Erusin. But Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Hanashim Yit Arsu, that all women can go through Erusin. Chutz min ha'almana of Nea Ebel, except for an almana because of Ebel. Become an Ebel, Shalah, how much does it appear in the morning for Shoshim Yom? V'kula lo inasu at shulam shoshah harashim. And they all can't go through Nisuin until 3 months elapse. So the Gemara says, Hai my kush. So again, Rabbi Yossi says that a Nesua, if she went to, do you want to come closer, or they were asking the bill of fire? Okay, all right, maybe come a little. Okay. So the Gemara says. That a Nesua is Asura Le'Ares. If she's Nesua, so she can't even go through Averson. That's what we said. Then we quoted this Braisa. The Braisa says, Rabbi Yossi says that all women go through Averson. So the Gemara says, Hi, my Kusha. So what type of question is this? Elaimat the Katani, Rabbi Yossi Amir Kol Anashim Yit Arsu. If you're concerned because the line that's the Rabbi Yossi says that all women can go through Erusin, Mi'alim Manitin. So that, you're right. If I read and translate that line in the Gemara, then I have a stira. Here I'm saying that Rabbi Yossi holds that Kol Hanesuot Asura Le'Ares, she can't through Erusin. And then the Braisa, he says everybody can go through Erusin. It means within 3 months of the death of the husband. He says, but is that Mi'alim Manitin? Is that stronger? Is that more difficult to deal with than our Mishnah? In other words, in our Mishnah, we had an almost identical line, right? In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi said on the bottom line of Mem Aleph and Aleph, Kol Hanashim Yitarsu, that all women go through Erusin. So the Gemara says, Mi'alim Manitin, the Ukimna Ba'arusot Rushot Yinasu. We said it meant that if they went through, they were Arusot, then they can go through Nisuin. Hachanami Kol Arusot Gurushot Yinasu. It just means when the Braisa says, Kol Hanashim Yitarsu, it doesn't mean Nisuot Yitarsu, which is what we said before. It means if you went through Erusin in the previous marriage, then you can go through Erusin now. That's all he meant. He says, Kol Arusot Gurushot Yinasu. Now, one second. Aruso Grusho Inasu, right. Aruso Grusho Inasu. Okay. So Elmi Seifa. So we think that the difficulty is the end of the end of the Braisa. The Katani, the Kulan lo Inasu, that none of the women should do through Nisuin, Ashulam Shosha Farashim, until 3 months have elapsed. So in Suvi Hudlo, so that implies they can't go through Nisuin. They could go through Erusin. In other words, so again, the key here is that we said that within Rabbi Yossi that a Nesua is not allowed to do Erusin. If she was Nesua, then she's radioactive. She can't do it through Erusin. And here we have a line that Kulan, all the women, can't go through Nesuin until they have 3 months. But that sounds like only Nesuin I can't do, but Erusin I could. So Amarava, so Rava says, Taritz ve'emahachi, we should have to like touch up the Bryce and say like this, Rabbi Yossi Omer kol arusot gerushot inasu, that all arusot gerushot can marry, chutz min ha'almana, except for the almana, b'nei ha'ibul, because of the mourning. The kama ibul shalosh shloshim yom, and how much is the ibul? 30 days. Unesuo lo yitarsu ad sheyehilen shloshah charashim. And b'nesuo can't marry until they have 3 months. Okay, let me just summarize with this, and then we'll be in good shape. Okay, you know. Yeah, gentlemen, yo, can you do a little softer? I know it's like a big room, just a little softer, and then we'll be good. Okay. Now, can you come a little closer, Rafi? Okay, well, it would make it easier for me. Okay, all right. Now, okay, tell you what, just can you? You'll be safe. We'll stay over here. I'll try not to infect you. Okay, go ahead. Now, okay, thanks. Now, so the main issues were like this. So, we reinterpreted Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi holds one of two things. Either we said that the Tanna Rabbi Yossi holds that that either Rabbi Yossi holds that all women can go straight to Nisuin. In other words, there's no prohibition. Even in the never mind the 90 days, skip that. That's history. All women can do Nisuin. And Mimela. And then when he said, except for the almana, it means that she can't go through Nisuin. And there's no problem, not with Averson, she can't go through Nisuin. Fine, that's one shot. Or else we think he holds that that if you're an Arusa, you can go through Nisuin, which is the same as Rabbi Yehuda. But his point of dispute with Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you're a Nisua, Rabbi Yehuda holds your Mutar Li Ares. But if you're a Nisua, Rabbi Yossi holds the second version that you can't do anything if you're a Nisua. But the line though about the almana is talking about nisuin. So far we think we've touched up the Mishnah in a way to you know sustain all questions. What's up? You're okay? Okay. Now let's go further. Now, okay. Now the Gemara says I'm around midway down the column on Mem Gimel Beis. Everybody with me? Okay. So v'almana min ha'erusin. Mi itla ibul. Now the Gemara says, if the prior marriage was just erusin, in other words, in the second version, we were saying that if she's an almana min ha erusin. Let me go back again for 1 second. One second. Right. So we said in the Brisa, the way the Rabbi touched up was that all Rusot Yinasu, except for Almana Mina Evil, except for the Almana. So if in the prior marriage she had only gone through Averson, then she can't remarry till the Avelis ends. So the Gemara says, Almana Mina Averson, me Idla Evil. Does an almana, if the previous marriage was only Erusin, is there any proscription about Avelis for her? He says, Vahatani Rabbi Bar Ami taught the following brisa. Ishto Arusa, if one only went through Erusin, again, Erusin is the first step in the marriage. And now Ishto Arusa, his Arusa is died. In other words, he went through Erusin, never went through Nisuin, and then the wife died. Now, after Erusin, he needs a get, but, or she needs a get, but she died. Lo onein, he has no din of aninus. Lo matami la, if he's a kohen, he can't go to her, you know, be in dalet amos of her, you know, for the funeral, anything like that. But kain he lo onein of lo matami la. And similarly, conversely, she is not onein for him. Onein is that period, you know, between death and kavura. So she doesn't observe the din of aninus. Lo matami la, so this is a little difficult, but here Rashi says on lo matami la, we had the similar Gemara earlier. This was two lines where it gets wide and rash. She's not directed to, you know, to take care of his funeral. She's not so shy to him. Meta, Eno Yorsha, if she dies, he doesn't Yarshan her. Made who? And if he dies, Gova Ksubata. She collects her Ksuba. Now, usually the Ksuba we do after the Nisuin, Rashi says, on the last narrow line, we're going to Kataplam and Erusin. If he entered into a ksuba that, you know, that is full force effect after Erusin, that's like an IOU note. So, but the point is, though, that we're still in trouble with the second version, Rabbi Yossi, because we said that the way we were touching it up is that after, even if the previous man was just Erusin, Rabbi Yossi was saying that she can't remarry because of evil, because of mourning, but Erusin, in other words, husband number one died, so she can't remarry because of Avelos, but there's no din of Avelos, it's just for Erusin. So Ella, so that's falling apart. So we're going back to the way we were, square one. We're going to scratch all these explanations. We're going back to the original explanation we had, that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Huda basically agree on 90%. They both agree that after Nisuin, she can do Erusin. And after Erusin, you can even do Nisuin. And then that line sounds like, so where are we with this Mishnah now? So the problem that we rose was, so we could say that the problem that we had was that the Almana, we said that that she's allowed to do Erusin. She's allowed to do Erusin after Avelos. So it could be, in other words, we'll have to say that it's talking about, in other words, the line of the Mishnah says, again, the Mishnah, Rekula Nashimit Arsu Chutzman Ha'almana, except for the Almana of the Ha'ibul. So it could be that she's an Almana. In other words, the prescription is against doing Erusin. So it could be that she was an Almana from Nisuin. In other words, the previous husband was Nisuin, but what's the problem about doing Erusin? We didn't think Erusin was a problem because you're allowed to do Erusin before Tishba. So the Gemara says, let's back in the Gemara. Ella Tanayi, it's Matloka Tanayim about doing the Erusin. The Tanya, is there a problem about doing Erusin before Tishba or not? So we had a raya that if you do Erusin before Tishba, we said, Achas Kamakami, you can do Erusin in your Avelis. So the Tanya, Mirosh Chodesh Vyaratani, Amama Timius Kayan, the Bryce says, from Rosh Chodesh Av until Tishbav, everybody like cuts back on their regular business deals. Mili samili tain from commercial transactions. Mili note milento from building and planting. Umile areisan from erusin and isuin. So it says beforeish that you can't do the erusin before tishbav. You cannot do erusin. Shabbat shachal tishbav b'tocha as to the saper lechabes. The yeshomrim kol achodesh asur. Some say the whole month. You're allowed, it sounds like even after Tishbav. So the way we're saying right now, we think it's a machloket, whether you're allowed to do Erusin before Tishbav or not. One opinion holds you could, we saw that earlier. One opinion holds you can't. So if you can, so there's no kavachomer to say if you could do it there, how come you can't do it here? Because you can't do it there either. And Rabbi Yossi says you can't do it here either. So Makivlo Rabashi, so far that sounds good. Rabashi has a strong kasha. You might lay a race mamash. How do you know in that second brisa when it says you're not allowed to make erusin, it means like just harayat mikudeshetli? Perhaps the tana of that brisa just means I can't make this. The erusin party is what he means. The suit is erusin. That's the simcha. But he also could concede that doing erusin is fine. In which case, I have a problem. Ihati milisa. So the Tana also says that you're not allowed to nisuin. So over there, he just means to make a wedding party, but to make a nisuin, you're allowed to do. So, but nisuin itself, that's the big simple. We don't think it's logical that anybody would permit you to do nisuin before Tishbav. So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, how can you compare the two cases? Bishleim nisuin below suda ita simcha. By nisuin, he means chuta kamashma'o. Just nisuin into the chuppah, that's itself is a simcha. Ela erusin below suda means simcha, but erusin without suda, is there a simcha? So at the end of the day, we still have our problem, because how can Rabbi Yossi say that you're not allowed to do erusin for this almana, but you're allowed to do erusin before Tishbav? In other words, before Tishbav is a time when I have a prescription against business, and she has no prescription against business. So if during that time I'm allowed to Erusin, certainly now I should be allowed to Erusin. So Elam or Ravashi, rather Ravashi says, and here's an important klal, that if you have like a highlight or say highlight these lines, Elam Ravashi, let me say it outside inside first. Ravashi is going to say there's a big difference between Tishbav and Avelos for a person who's dead. Tish B'Av is Avelus Yishana. It's old Avelus. It's weaker than the Avelus for a person. And Tish B'Av is communal Avelus, and this is like an individual Avelus. So it's more chamor, the dinim for a private Avelus, than Tish B'Av. That's basically his answer. So Elam Rashi, Shani Avelut Chadasha, Me Avelut Yishana. And Avelut Chadasha, somebody just died, you know, 2 weeks ago. That's different than, it's terrible. The Korban Beis Hamikdash happened 2,000 years ago, but it's different than Avelus Chadasha and Avelus Yishana. The Shani Avelut to Rabbi, Me Avelut Yachid. There's a difference between a communal Avelus and the Avelus Yachid. Communal Avelus is a little weaker. So at the end of the day, it could be that that Rabbi Yossi could say that there's a prohibition against an almana doing Erusin. Yeah, there isn't a prohibition, even though before Tish B'Av you are allowed to do Erusin, because one's in Avelus Chadasha, one's in Avelus Yishana. And so at the end of the day, we're leaving the Pshatim the way the same, except the only thing we're saying is that, the only thing you have to say is that she's an almana from Nisuin, because we said from Erusin, there is no Avelus with that, but it's an almana from Nisuin.
Wait,
say it again, repeat.
It's
apparently the
Avinu will be
done.
She has a new husband.
Wait, I lost it. What happened? Yeah. Not exactly so pashut. I think you're mixing like a regal, like a regal that's mafsik the Avelus. That's what you're thinking. Now there is like the in other words, when you get married, that's a tremendous simcha. But the, like, let's say, like sometimes in halakha, there's a case where, like a person, he's at the chuppah and he suffered loss, so he observes the Shivas Yimei Mishnah, and then after the Shivas Yimei Mishnah, he learns 7 days of Avelus. He does, you know what I mean? So it's not, it doesn't, you know, it wouldn't necessarily cut anything off. Okay, let me just do the next Mishnah. And thank you for coming, Mordechai. I see you over there. Thank you very much. And David, if you want to join us for one Mishnah, Daf Yomi, and you can be a shootout with us, you have the chance right now. And we have you, both of you. Okay, so here's a Gemara, and there's another Gemara for you, David. It's right over there in the corner. There's a Gemara up here. Yeah, go start. You want to share also. There's a Gemara over there, whichever you prefer. Okay, page 86. Okay, maybe a little base. Okay, so Manitin, Arba Aachim, Nisuin Arba Nashim. You have a family, there's like six brothers. Okay, four of the brothers are married to four different women, who made two, and then all four brothers die. Maybe Rachman and Sunday were in a car crash. So in other words, I have four women who are omitted for Yibum, four women who are eligible for Yibum at once. So if the oldest of the surviving brothers, and there was, let's say there were six brothers, four brothers died in a car crash. The four brothers who died in the car crash were all married, so they have four widows. Okay, let's wait till I'm done with the mission. Nobody had any kids. Wait till I'm done with the mission, okay? So the two surviving brothers, so the oldest one is the one who has the mitzvah of Yibum. He could take all of them. He could do Yibum all four of them. Please wait till I'm done with the mission, okay? Mishana sui l'shtei nashim. If a person was married to two women who mate and he died, so if the Yibum or Chalitza is done with one of the wives, the other one is exempt. The top line on the Dalam and Aleph. Let's say he was married to two women and one woman was a grusha. Now, when he does Chalitza, Chalitza, the woman's going to be prohibited for a kohen. The grush is already prohibited for a kohen. So let's say he was married to two women. One had been previously divorced. So she's possible for a kohen. He was not a kohen, but she's possible for a kohen. So I talk about Kshirva Kapsula, Imayat Choles, if he decides, I don't want either one as a wife, I'm going to do Chalitza, Choles Psula. If you do Chalitza with the one who's already possible to the kohen, in other words, I don't want to ruin more women for kohenim. In other words, One wife is prohibited to the kohen already. She's a grusha. So we do chalitza with her. If he does yibum, then he could do yibum with the ksheira one, the non-grusha, if he wants. See, that he could do. Okay, that's it for tonight. I got to run. Okay, nice having everybody. One second.